Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Aleph. We left off at the very top of daf Kuf Ayin Aleph, the very first word of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Alilu Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they shall return home safely, and also by Gabriel Sazni, in memory of Mr. Zalman Sazni, Zalman Ben Shraga Faiv LaKoyin, Zichron Levracha, on his 10th yard site. Zalman was a Holocaust survivor from Vilna and the only one from his family who came to Atlanta, Georgia in 1949 as a displaced person and left a legacy of emunah and yashrus to his family in Oak Park, Michigan, Muncie, New York, Beitar, Yerushalayim, Lakewood, and Passaic. May his neshama have an aliyah, elichtiga, gan eden, and yehi zichro baruch. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to talk about Adim writing a replacement for a partially paid shtar, which is a conversation we already started yesterday with the Mishnah, that if someone paid up half of the loan, and now there's a shtar that says the full amount, so can you write a replacement? So we discussed yesterday that maybe there's a difference between Bezdin writing a replacement shtar and Adim writing a replacement shtar. So first we're going to have that discussion about what the problem might be if Adim write a replacement shtar. Then the Gemara is going to discuss a shtar dated for a date that turns out, if you look carefully, was really Shabbos or Yom HaKippurim. I mean, normally Yom Kippur, you'll figure it out. It's Yud Tishrei, but the understanding is that they wrote a date based on the secular calendar. So it's not obvious. And then they looked into it, they look at a calendar, and they realized that it was Yom Kippur. There was no way this shtar was written on Yom Kippur. There was no way this shtar was written on Shabbos. What sort of assumptions can we make about a shtar that was dated for Yom Kippur or for Shabbos? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether we write a shovar for a loan paid in full, the way somebody showed him in the standard, presuming the guy doesn't have the shtar anymore. Meaning, I'm paying you back the loan, and you say, oh, I lost the shtar, but don't worry, I'll write you a shovar. Can I say, no, you're going to find the shtar, and that's when I'll pay you back in full, or else I'm just not paying you? Or is a shovar a good enough thing to do in that situation? Then the Gemara is going to discuss shtari muktam and shtari mu'uchar. In general, is a shtar muktam kasher, is a shtar mu'uchar kasher? What are the circumstances under which some of these might be kasher? Okay, so let's begin at the very top of Kufayin al-Famral. So if you recall yesterday, we had two opinions in the Mishnah, what to do when someone pays back part of the loan, and there's a shtar that has the full amount of the loan. But then Rav taught us a third opinion, that Beis Din is Mekarea the shtar, and they write another shtar from the original Zman. But the Edim cannot be Mekarea the shtar and write a new shtar. The Edim are only authorized to write one shtar. They're not able to write a new shtar. So says the Gemara, well, Bishlama Beidina, I understand very well how you could write Rav is explaining himself why he holds that it's got to be a Beis Din and can't be the Edim who tear up the shtar. I understand why it is that a Beis Din is able to write up a new shtar and they're able to date the shtar at the date of the original loan, even though Mikra Din, the shtar should only be able to create a Shibud from the time that it's actually being written. But if you're going to put in an earlier date from the time the loan actually happened, that they're going to be able to create a Shibud Karkaos, they'll be able to use a Shibud Karkaos from the earlier date. Right. Bezin's allowed to do that. Alimi lafkui mamona. Bezin has such a koach. They're able to take money away from people utilizing hefker based in hefker. That's a drasha in the Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Vav that the pasuk says Ela anachlos or shenachlo Elazar haKohen v'Yoshua Benun v'Rashei ha'Avos. That when the Jewish people got to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yoshua Benun, they had to divide up Eretz Yisrael. Each shevet will get their chelek. So Elazar haKohen, Yoshua Benun, and the Rashei haShvatim divided up Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara over there says, if we're talking about the Nesiyei HaShvatim, why does it mention Rashei HaAvos, just say Nesiyei HaShvatim? So the Gemara answers that it's a drasha, that Ma Avos Manchilim Nesbenei Mashi Yirtzu, Kein Rasha Manchilim Laal, Kol Mashi Yirtzu, that just like Avos or Manchil, whatever it is that they want to be Manchil to whichever children, so too the Nesiyim, the great rabbis, the Batei Din, are able to be Manchil whatever whatever they want to whoever they want. So from there we see Hefker Beis Din Hefker. So we know that Beis Din has such a kalach of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and therefore if they could take away money from one person and give it to another person, they could certainly create a shibud that otherwise would not exist. So they could write a shtar muktam, even though that's going to allow the malva to collect karkaos from the kuchos who bought those karkaos prior to the ksiva of this shtar. Ela edim sha'asul shlichusan chosen v'asul shlichusan. But the edim who were authorized to sign a shtar once, and they did sign that shtar once, can they go and sign another shtar? Who gave them the koach to sign an additional shtar? Who gave them that kind of authorization? Now, the way the Rashbam understood it is that Beis Din has the right to do Hefker Beis Din Hefker, so for sure they have the right to create a shibud that doesn't exist. So the Rashba just points out, the Gemara is not really saying that writing the shtar is a hafkas mamon over here, because lufia emes, the lukuchos actually were meshubad from the date that they're writing the shtar, because of the original shtar. It's just that it was partially paid up, meaning there was a shibud karkaos for this full amount from the time of the original shtar. It's just that the original shtar was partially paid up. So it's not like some injustice that is being done, and it's okay, we authorize Beis Din to do this injustice and create this shibud. There was a shibud, but the Gemara is saying that that the koach of Beis Din is so great, even to be mafkia mamun mamish, and therefore kol shekein that they have the rights to write a shtar from the original date, which is not hafkas mamun, which is just looks a little bad, but it's not really hafkas mamun because there was a shibud there anyway. That's what the Gemara's point is, says the Rashba. That's what Rav's point is. Now, But when it comes to Edim already did their shlichus. They cannot go, says the Rashbam, the way the Rashbam understands this, and do their shlichus another time and write an additional shtar, because who gave them the koach to sign on an additional shtar? Now Tosos wonders about the lashon of the Gemara. So the mashmas of the lashon is because they already wrote a shtar once, they don't have a right to write a second shtar. Sounds like, oh, but had they not written the shtar the first time, then they still have that one bullet, right? Meaning they're given the right to write a single shtar, and because they already did that, now they can't do it again. Implying that had they not yet written the shtar when they were supposed to 3 months ago, then they'd be perfectly fine to write a shtar right now. Says Tosas, that's for sure incorrect, because if they did not write a shtar bisman, then of course they cannot write a shtar muktam right now. I mean, we're talking about writing a shtar with the earlier date. If they were supposed to write the shtar on January 1st, they cannot be writing a shtar on April 1st. That's dated January 1st. That is a shtar muktam. Adraba, it's only because there was a shtar for January 1st, and they wrote a shtar for January 1st, and therefore there was a shibud for January 1st. So they're just writing a replacement for that shtar with the same shibud that already existed. So you would think that that's a much better situation. So Tosa says that the Gemara is actually saying the opposite of what it sounds like. It's saying, what, because they did their shlichus one time, and the shibud of shtar was already chal, that's why they're allowed to write another shtar, even though the Lov himself wants, you think because they did their shlichus once and the shibud of the shtar was already chal, which is a good svara, that that to write a shtar from the earlier date, you think that's going to authorize them to write another shtar, even though the Lov himself wants an additional shtar, but it's not a svara to be matir them to write other shtaros, because then it will lead to writing shtaros muktamim even when there wasn't an original shtar with an original shibud. So Tosfos says that's what the Gemara is saying. That's clearly if there was no original shtar, then of course you cannot write a shtar muktam. Shtar muktam is obviously going to be possible. You're creating a shibud that doesn't exist. But Tosfos is saying, and you think just because there was an original shtar and there was a shibud already, now we're going to let them write a shtar muktam? No, because that's asking for trouble. Because then even when there wasn't an original shtar, they're going to come to do it. And that's the Gemara's point of why we don't allow Edim. That's Rob's point as to why we don't allow Edim. Tosfos acknowledges, it's not what it sounds like in the Gemara, that the Lashon of the Gemara is Megumgam, but he says it's what it has to mean, because it doesn't make any sense that the Gemara is going to imply that if they hadn't written an original shtar, then they're good to write a shtar muktam. And it's only because they had written an original shtar that they cannot write a shtar muktam. right? That would be very, very strange. So Tosfos Lashon is somewhat megumgam, but that's what it must mean. The Ramban actually writes that if the Edim wrote a shtar from the original Zman, it would be a shtar muktam and pasul lagamri, even though there was an original shtar. But since they tore it up, the shibud was nispatel, and therefore they do not have a right to create a shibud. Meaning, both the way the Rashbam and Tosfos understood is that the shibud is there, so when they're writing a new shtar with the old date, it's really okay, meaning it really should have been okay because the shibud was there from the time of the original shtar. It's just we're worried what's that going to lead to, what are people going to misunderstand. But the way the Ramban understands is that no, that is absolutely possible, meaning that is just as bad a shtar muktam as any other shtar muktam, because the second you tear up a shtar, that shibud is gone, so there is no shibud. So I can't create on April 1st a shibud that goes back to January 1st. That is a shtar muktam that's absolutely possible. So anyway, this is Rav's point. So Rav's point is that if your loan is partially paid up and you want to tear up that shtar and you want to write a new shtar, Beis Din is authorized to do that, but Edim are absolutely not authorized to do that. So ask the Gemara, Velo, are Edim not authorized to do that? Vam Rav Yudom Rav, Edim kosvim nafilu asar shtaros al sadachas. Doesn't Rav Yudom Rav tell us that Edim are allowed to write even 10 shtaros on one field? If they keep losing the shtar, they could just keep writing a new shtar every time, 10 one after the other? And the Gemara understands that we're talking about any type of shtar, not like Rav Huna, who asked his Edim to write a brand new shtar halva'a in place of a lost shtar. Apparently, they are allowed to write any new shtar. The Ramban points out that the Gemara is understanding that the reason for the heter is because they already wrote a shtar once from the earlier Zman, so a kol went out. So even though that shtar got torn up and Edim are writing a new shtar, it's not a psul of muktam because there was already kol. Everyone knew that this money was owed. You see apparently that Edim are allowed to keep rewriting shtaros. Tosfos raises the question that according to the Havamin of the Gemara right now, it sounds like they're writing an additional shtar with achrayos. But we had said on Kuf Samachesim Beis that when you write a shtar mekach in place of an original shtar that was lost, you write it chutz me achrayos shebo. You're not allowed to write it with achrayos. Otherwise, there's a chashash that they'll find the first shtar and you'll collect twice with the two shtaros. So you have to take away the achrayos. So Tosfos writes that the Gemara understands that over there we're talking about a case where we don't know that the shtar is lost. The guy's tinying that it's lost. He claims that he doesn't have it. So Rechoshesh doesn't really, he really does have it. He didn't really lose it, and he's going to pull it out, and he's going to use it twice, and he's going to use these two shtaros to collect twice. So that's why we don't write Achrayus. But over here we're talking about that there are Edim that they saw the shtar get destroyed, or saw saw that it in fact was lost. So the Gemara understands in this Havamina that then we could write a replacement even with the Achrayus. So again, the Gemara's kasha is on Rav. How can you tell me that we're not that Edim are not allowed to write a replacement shtar? Rabbi Dom Rav says, meaning it's on Rav Huna Amar Rav that said you're not allowed to write a replacement shtar. But didn't Rabbi Dom Rav tell me that Afilu Asar Shtaros you are allowed to write replacement shtaros? So says the Gemara, two answers. Answer number one, Rav Yosef Amar, that really Edim are not allowed to write a shtar halva'a from the earlier Zman when the shtar gets lost, because we have to be choshesh that the Malva is going to collect shalo kedin from the lukuchos after the original date, before the date, the true date of the writing of the second shtar. And there really isn't a shibud over there. But because of the date written in the shtar, they're going to think that the shtar came before they purchased this property, and they're going to think they have to give it up. It's going to be taken away from them. But this Memor of Yudam Rav that allows writing even 10 shtaros is B'shtar Matana. That's not about B'shtar Matana. B'shtar Matana, there's no Achrayus in B'shtar Matana. So even if you take the field from the Makabel Matana, he's not able to go to Lukuchos and be Govekarka because there's no Achrayus. So nothing's going to happen to the Lukuchos. But there is a great benefit to the Makabel Matana that he's going to be able to prove the field belongs to him if he has a shtar. So that's why we're willing to write a shtar for him. Second answer, B'rabba Amar B'shtar She'en Bo Achrayus. That when Rav Yudam Rav says that you could keep writing replacement replacement, Shtar Mekach, that's a Shtar Mekach that does not have a Chrayus. Therefore you cannot collect from Lukuchos. So there's not going to, nothing bad is going to come out of it by writing an additional Shtar. Meaning, and the Ritva points out, it means that even the original Shtar didn't have a Chrayus. Because since if the Edom were authorized to write a Shtar b'Achrayus, then he never had das to authorize them to write a shtar without achrayus. So these edim can only replace a shtar of the same nature as the original shtar that they were authorized to write. So it must be even the original shtar didn't have achrayus, not just the shtar that they're replacing it with didn't have achrayus, both, that they both don't have achrayus. So the Gemara brings the brisa that we had mentioned, that we had mentioned at the end of yesterday's shir, that is Sosa Rav. Again, Rav had said, I know that there are two opinions in the Mishnah on what to do when someone partially pays a chov. I have a third opinion that only Beis Din is allowed to tear up a shtar. So the Gemara said, oh, probably Rav never heard of this brisa. There's a brisa that says that the Edom are allowed to do it. And then the Gemara, the last line of Gemara that we read yesterday was, Rav heard of the brisa. He just disagrees with the brisa. So my brisa, what is that brisa? What's the full context of that brisa that we quoted yesterday? Meaning, is there a fuller version of the brisa than the one little line that we had yesterday was Detanya Edim Makarin Shtar V'Kosel Shtar Achim Izman Rishon. Right? What was the fuller context of that brisa? So Detanya, here's the brisa. Hareisha you notion bo elav zuz if Balichov lend the lova 1,000 zuz uparamehen chamish meo zuz and the lova pays back 500 zuz Edim Makarin Shtar. So the Edim tear up the shtar V'Kosel Shtar Achim Izman Rishon and they write another shtar from the earlier date of the torn shtar. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shtar zeh yeimunach b'mekomo v'yichtavu shovar. No, they leave the shtar that says that he owes 1,000 zuz. Aye, but he only owes 500. Good, so let the malva write a receipt to the love that you've already paid up, 500. So if the malva ever tries to pull out the shtar, says you owe me $1,000, the love will be able to pull out his shover that says he already paid 500, and it'll only owe him 500. You don't write a new shtar, you keep the shtar and you write a shover. So that is the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So that's the fuller version of the discussion. So now the Gemara elaborates. Rabbi Yossi says, I'll explain to you that there are two motivations in writing a shover and keeping the shtar rather than tearing up the shtar. One is that we want to force the lova to pay the remainder of his chov, and so long as he has to watch his shover and make sure that his shover doesn't get lost, and if it does get lost, he's at risk of losing a lot of money, so that will force him to want to pay the remainder of his chov. And the other reason to keep the original shtar is because there's a shibud in that original shtar from the original date, as opposed to if you tear up that original shtar, you're going to write a new one. There's not going to be a shibud from the original date. Now the Ramban is bothered by that first reason, that we want to force the lova to pay. Well, why are we helping the malva force the lova to pay the entire chov by being choshesh that he's going to lose his shover and he's going to lose out a lot of money? Why isn't it just enough that he has a shtar against him that says that he owes the money? Meaning every chov there's something forcing the lova to pay. Namely, there's a shtar out against him that says why do we need to create additional pressure on the lova? Meaning the way dinim amnus works in every halva'a is that there's automatic pressure on the lova when there's a shtar. I mean, is there a mitzvah to create additional pressure on the lova? So the Ramban says, no, but there's a certain amount of pressure that's been lifted from the lova. And since a certain amount of pressure has been lifted from the lova, we want to compensate for that. What pressure has been lifted from the lova? If I want to do business with a guy and I find out that he has lots of debt, he's got, he owes people millions and millions of dollars, I'll be very hesitant to do business. If I see he's got a little debt, okay, so he has a mortgage on his house, he has a credit card, so nothing crazy, so then I'll be willing to do business with the guy. So if he when he borrowed the money, he had $1,000 of money that he owed, people would have been very hesitant to do business with him. So there was that forcing him, knowing that there's $1,000 against him, forcing him to want to pay back. Now, it's only 500, so it's not going to force him as much to pay back the remainder. So therefore, we want to impose that you're also going to have to watch over a shover, and if you lose it, you're going to lose a lot of money because you're going to end up having to pay the full $1,000. So again, we have Machlokas and the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. If a person partially pays up a loan, so do you tear up the shtar and write a new shtar? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Or do you leave the shtar as is and write a shofar? That's Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says, I have two reasons to leave the shtar as is. Number one, to force the lover to pay. And number two, so that you could collect from the original date of the actual original loan. So the Gemara explains Rabbi Yossi's shita. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Mizman Rishon Kamar. Wait, you think when Rabbi Yehuda says you write a new shtar, he thinks you write a new shtar from today's date? No, obviously he holds you write a new shtar from the date of the original loan. So there still will be a shiva, but you still will be able to collect from the original date. So Hachi Karmelei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yossi was saying to Rabbi Yehuda the following: I'm not sure what you mean when you say that you write a replacement shtar. I don't know if you mean to write a replacement shtar from the original date or to write a replacement shtar from the date that you're actually writing it today. Meaning, if the loan happened January 1st, and now the shtar is lost, and now the shtar and now it's partially paid, and now you're going to tear up the shtar, and you're going to write a new shtar on April 1st. I don't know. What do you mean by that? Are you writing a new shtar on April 1st, dated April 1st, or are you writing a new shtar on April 1st, dated January 1st? But either way, I got a problem with it. Im is man rishon kamrit. If you're saying that you should write on January 1st, paligna lach b'chada, so then I disagree with you about one din, that I hold that we should write a shofar in order to force the lova to pay. And im is man sheni kamrit. And if you're saying that we should write a shtar on April 1st, dated April 1st, then I disagree with you about two dinim. One is that I hold we write a shofar in order to force him to pay rather than keep the original shtar, and we keep the original shtar rather than writing a new shtar. And second, I hold that you can actually collect from January 1st, not only from April 1st. So I would disagree with you about that as well. Or the way the Yad Ramah says it, that chada and tarti is how many reasons I disagree with you, not how many dinim I disagree with you about, but for how many reasons I disagree with you about, which I thought was more Pasha Pshat. That Rabbi Yossi is telling Rabbi Yehuda that if you hold your gova from the earlier Zman, I disagree with you for one reason, because I think that it's really important that we force the lover to pay. And if you hold that we collect from only the later Zman, only April 1st, I disagree with you for two reasons. First of all, I think we have to force the lover to pay. And second of all, I think it's really important that he should be able to collect from January 1st and not from April 1st, because that's when the original Shibud was, that's when the original loan was. And that's why I think we should keep the original Shtar. Okay, so now the Gemara quotes another machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi that relates to the machlokas in our Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan. We have a brisa as follows. Shtar shezmanu kasuv. If you have a shtar that the date was written based on the secular calendar date, and then you did the math and you realized b'Shabbos or Basar b'Tishrei that date turns out to be Shabbos or turns out to be the 10th day of Tishrei, that's how the Rashbam understands that it was on the secular calendar date. Otherwise it would be obvious. It wouldn't be that, you know, that it wouldn't take much investigation. However, Tosfos explains that they write that it was Gimel b'Nisan and that Zman happened to have been on Shabbos, or they write that it was Monday, the second Monday of Tishrei, and then they look at a calendar and they realize the second Monday of Tishrei was Yom Kippur. Meaning there are ways that you don't have to be writing the secular date where it would still not be stating explicitly that it was Shabbos or that it was Yom HaKippurim. What are the Rashbam and Tosfos arguing about? They're likely arguing about whether you're allowed to use secular dates, whether that works. So the Poskim discuss, just in general, is one supposed to use secular dates? Is it a violation of B'chukoseim lo selechu? So the one who wrote the tshuva that was most adamant about this was the tshuvas Maram Shik. Maram Shik writes in Yodeh Sum Kofayin Aleph, he was asked about a matseva, where they're writing an English matseva, and he says the secular date counts, l'shnas oso ish yimach shemo, and he makes a huge macha against this, and he says the very fact that you're even writing German or English or whatever language you want to write in the matseva, that's a halbatzara, but now you're going to write based on their date, which refers to their God, was that? That's terrible. Chazal say that you're not allowed to say "Hamtein li b'tzad avodah zara plonis." Wait for me next to this avodah zara, because then people are going to remember. You know that avodah. You're not allowed to use an avodah zara as a landmark. So to use an avodah zara as a date mark, so absolutely not. So he's very against it. So some sovereign is Drashus writes, Sha'anu manu l'briyas olam v'lo ba'os ka'osam chadashim yikarav hamonim shekosim b'reish megiltam minyan ledus mashiach hanotrim v'kosei v'chosim atzmo she'en lo chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Oylehem ki gamdu l'nafshem ra'a b'toris Hashem ma'asu v'chachmas ma'lehem. Some sofer says I'm moderately against it. He doesn't like this idea of using secular dates. Okay, so anyway, Yavishtar, whether, like the Rashbam says, it was dated with a secular date because that's the way the king dates the shtaros in that country, or it was dated in a way where it wasn't obvious, but you realize now that the date on the shtar is Yom Kippur, it's a Yontif, it's a Shabbos, so obviously it wasn't written on that date because you're not allowed to write on those days. So it was either a shtar muktam or a shtar mu'uchar. And I don't know, how am I supposed to know which it was? Was it a shtar muktam or shtar mu'uchar? So it says more, shtar mu'uchar hu. You could assume it was written earlier, and they wrote a later date than it was actually written, the kosher. And that's fine. Because if I want to borrow money from you, and you're willing to accept that the shibud should only start a week from now, the shibud karko should only start a week from now or a month from now, that's fine. You're allowed to accept that. You just like you're allowed to accept that there should be no shibud karkos. So you could accept that the shibud should only start at a later time. But if I want to borrow money from you and I tell you, don't worry, I sold a whole bunch of real estate last year, so I'll predate the shtar to prior to the time I sold that real estate, and the shibud will start earlier. No, that's absolutely terrible. That's possible, right? So we can assume the best about the shtar. We can assume that it's a shtar mu'uchar, and therefore v'kasher, that there's no loss in writing a shtar mu'uchar. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that is the shita. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi posel. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you cannot write a shtar mu'uchar. So even if it is a shtar mu'uchar, it's going to be posel. So Amila Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Yossi, V'lamar sebel v'nacha b'tzipori v'chsharta. What do you mean, you posel? There was a famous case that came to you in Tzipori. We have case law. You yourself were machshir shtar mu'uchar. So Amila, Rabbi Yossi responded to Rabbi Yehuda, k'shechsharti b'zeh chsharti. When I was machshir, a star like this that you said that a star similar to the one that you said your din about, where the Zman was on Shabbos or on Asar B'Tishrei, so it was muchach mitocho that it wasn't written on the date that it had said, but a regular star that's not muchach mitocho, so I hold that you're not allowed to stop make a star, that a star would be possible if it's mu'uchar, if it's not muchach mitocho that it's mu'uchar. When it's muchach mitocho that it's mu'uchar, that I say is kosher. So says Rabbi Dinami, yeah, but that's what Rabbi Yehuda was talking about. So why are you hacking him? Meaning the case was a shtar that was written on Tish, that was dated on Asar B'Tishrei, a shtar that was dated on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. That's where Rabbi Yehuda said that it's kosher. So Rabbi Yossi, so you agree with that? So the Gemara explains the machlokas, that this machlokas relates to the machlokas in our Mishnah. Amar Pidas, Hakol Modin. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree. Shemus Kaknu Lo Nasal Shel Shtar, that if we check the date in the shtar, v'nimtzei sonasa muchavenes b'shabbos or v'asar b'tishrei, sheshtar mu'ucharu v'kasher. And it turns out that date turns out to be Shabbos or asar b'tishrei, that is a shtar mu'uchar. It's as if it was written b'feirish that they were ma'acher the zman, and therefore the shtar is kasher. Let's finish. Lo nechluku ella b'shtar mu'uchar bi'alma. The only case they argue about is a stam shtar where they just wrote the wrong date. They wrote a later date, but it's not muchach. The ichor is not muchach in the shtar itself, because there's nothing that screams from the shtar that it could not have been written on the date that it is in fact dated. Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh, this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, where he's machshir it da'amar ein kos fin shovar, that you don't write a shovar when a lova pays up an entire chov or even a chelik of the chov. We tear up the shtar and we write a new shtar v'lo nafik minechurva, and no takala will come out of a shtar mu'uchar. So it's perfectly fine to have a shtar mu'uchar. Rabbi Yossi Tamein, Rabbi Yossi's Lishitaso, Damar Kosvin Shovar, who says that we do write a Shovar, so it could be that the Shtar will remain with the Malva even after the Lova paid up all or part of the Chov, and we have to be Choshish that the Lova paid the Chov prior to the Zman that's written in the Shtar, V'nafik Minei Churva, and there's going to be a Takala that comes out, because the Zman of the Shovar is going to be earlier than the Zman of the Shtar, so the Malva is going to Taina after the Piron of the Shtar, there was a new loan, and he'll prove it from the fact that the Zman of the Shtar is later than the Zman of the Shovar, but really the Shovar was written for the Shtar. shtar. So therefore, we never write a shtar mu'uchar, because we're afraid that there's going to be additional transactions in between that you'll be able to deny. But when the shtar itself is mochiach that it wasn't written bizmano, like the zman is Shabbos, Yom Kippur, you don't have to worry about that takala, because everyone's going to realize what's up. Everyone's going to realize the malva is not going to be able to taina that the shtar was written bizmano. And when the malva comes to collect with that shtar, the dayanim will see that this shtar, that they could ignore the date on the shtar. The date on the shtar is clearly not the date that it actually happened. Okay, let's actually go weiter now. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, afilu mad yamar kos fin shover hani mili apalga, aval akulei lo. Even the opinion that holds that the lova has to pay the chov even when the malva is not returning the shtar to him, and because the malva could just write him a shovar, that's only if he's partially paying the chov, meaning when the shtar chov is going to stay in the malva's hand because he still owed some of the money. Avalakule, but if the lova wants to pay the entire chov and the malva says, I'm sorry, I can't give you your shtar back because I lost it, but I'm happy to write you a shovar, lo. We don't write a shovar in such a case. The lova just doesn't have to pay. He can say, when you find the shtar, I'll pay you back. Until you find the shtar, I'm not paying you back. So if the lova pays it back in part, yeah, then there's an opinion that the malva just writes a shovar. But if the lova pays it back in full, we don't write a shovar. The lova doesn't have to pay. So says more velohi, but that's not correct. Afilo akuli kasvinan. Rather, the halacha is that even when he's paying it back in full, we write a shovar. Meaning, if the malva doesn't have a shtar to return, he claims he lost it. So then we write a shovar. Ki hadur of Yitzchak Bar Yosef avamasik bezuzei. By Rabbi Abba, because there was a case that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was owed money by Rabbi Abba. Also, the committee Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, so Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef came to sue Rabbi Abba in Beis Din in front of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi. Some later, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said to Rabbi Abba, Havli Zuzai, give me the money that I loaned you. So Amalei, Havli Shtoray Shkol Zuzach. He said, happily, I'll give you the money as soon as you give me back my shtar. Amrlei, so Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said, "Shtarcha irkasli." I moved recently. I lost the shtar. You know, okay, got lost in the shuffle. So, but don't worry, Echtov l'chatavra. I'll write you a shover that says that you've already paid it back. Amrlei, v'Rav Shmuel damri tarvayu ein kosin shover. He says, "Sorry, both Rav and Shmuel say that I don't have to pay you back if you're not giving me a shtar. We don't write a shover for something like that. When you find the shtar, I'll happily pay you back." So Amr Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi said to Rabbi Abba, Man Yovlan me afre de Rav Shmuel Raminun Ba'inin. Who could give us from the dirt of Rav and Shmuel? We'll put it on our eyes. We love and miss Rav and Shmuel so much. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yochum Varesh Lakish Tarmi Tarvayu Kosvin Shovar. That even though Rav and Shmuel said we don't write a shovar, Rabbi Yochum Varesh Lakish both said we do write a shovar. And we rely on Rabbi Yochum Varesh Lakish, and therefore you got to pay back the chov, and you'll get a shovar that says that you've already paid back the chov, but even though you're not getting back your shtar, you'll get a shovar. We don't have a shtar to tear up, but you'll get your shovar. The Chen Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi La Kosvin Shovar. And Ravin, when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said in the name of Rabbi La that we taka do write a shovar. Again, not like Rav and Shmuel, who said that we do not write a shover. Mustavra to Kosvin Shover. So not only do we have Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh that says we write a shover, not only do we have a message from Eretz Yisrael that says that we write a shover, we have a svara that you write a shover. Di yisal kadai techein Kosvin Shover, avad shtor shalzeh, yochal ala v'chadi. Because, come on, if a guy loses a shtar, so then that's it. He's never going to get paid back. And the other guy, the borrower will just, you know, it's a boon for the borrower. He borrowed $1 million and he'll never in his life have to pay it back, because the lender, that doesn't seem right. So Maskafa Abayi, Bel Lamais. Abayi says, well, what do you say? Kosvin Shovar? Well, Avad Shovar Shozah Yochel Lavachadi, meaning they have the same risk in the other direction. If you can write a Shovar that says $1 million has already been paid back, so the Lova loses that Shovar, so now the Malva will be like, okay, now I get to collect $1 million again? That's not okay either. So Amalei Rava, in Avad Lova Lish Malva. Yeah, but we couldn't, that's the way the relationship's supposed to work. It's supposed to be that the lova has the lower hand and the malva has the upper hand. So we should not have a situation where the malva might lose out on the whole amount of money. He's never going to get paid back because he lost the shtar. It's okay to have a situation where if the lova loses the shover, he's going to lose out. We put a little added responsibility on the lova. That's part of being a lova. That's what the pasuk says in Mishlei, that Eved Lova Le'ishmalve. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses Shtar Muktam, Shtar Mu'uchar in a little more detail. Tananasam, we have a Mishnah in Masecha Shviyas. Shtari Chov HaMukdamin Psulin. That if you have a Shtar Chov, that the date in the Shtar is prior to the date where it actually happened, meaning it was written they wrote the Shtar in Tishrei, but it was dated the prior Nisan, so Psulin. Then it's going to be possible because really the Nichsei Lov are only Meshubad from Tishrei. That's when the Halva'ah happened. And if the Lov is sold Nechasim in Iyar, the Malva is not able to collect that from Lekuchos. But since the Shtar is dated in Nisan, he'll actually go and collect from Lekuchos, Shalok Adin. So they apostle any Shtar Muktam, meaning it makes a lot of sense. They're going to apostle the Shtar Muktam. You're going to be able to take things that aren't yours, that you have no right to take. That yes, there's a Shibun Nechasim when you write a Shtar from the date of the transaction, but there's no Shibud Nechasim from prior dates. That's not fair to the Lekuchos. And the Rashbam points out, and it's possible even to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim starting in Tishrei, which is the actual Zman of the Ksivas Hashtar, because we're afraid that if we let you collect from Nechasim Mishubadim with this Shtar, even the real Nechasim Mishubadim, then you're going to come to collect the earlier ones as well. The implication of the Rashbam is that if you're collecting from Nechasim B'nei Chorin, then you could use this Shtar. That even Shtar Muktam is only possible to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim. But if I just want to say, give me back the money that you owe me, and you have it, you have the money, so then that I can collect. I could use the Shtar to collect from Nechasim B'nei Chorin. Tosfos however says that the Shtar is just possible, that the Shtar is a chaspa bialma, it's a piece of garbage. You cannot collect anything with such a Shtar, even from Nechasim B'nei Chorin. Then the Rashbam adds that this din, that Shtar Muktam, is possible, is in the case where they wrote an earlier date from when the transaction actually happened. However, if they write the actual date, it's just that at the time that they're writing the date, meaning they write the date of when they're actually writing the shtar, but the transaction doesn't happen until later. So we sit here, today, writing a shtar, and we put today's date in the shtar, but the transaction is scheduled for next week. Even though that's also muktam in a sense, because the date on the shtar is not prior to when the shtar was written, but it's prior to when the events described in the shtar actually happened. So that might be kosher, says the Rashbam, because the Gemara in the first paragraph of Amitzia says, Rav Ashi says that if they make a kinyan on that chov, then you could be meshabed yourself from the time that we're writing the shtar, and the shtar is going to be kosher. So this is very relevant when they do a ksuba at a wedding where the chasnas tish, let's say, starts at 4 o'clock this time of year, and the chuppah is not going to be till 5:15 or whatever, which is after Tzeis HaKochavim, and so they want to get the shtar ksuba signed right at the beginning of chasnas tish. Between 4 and 4:30, they're signing the shtar ksuba, right? So what are they going to date it? So if they're going to date the ksuba of the earlier date, so that's the date that's going to be shtar muktam, because the actual shibud should only be chal at the time of the chuppah, and the shtar muktam is possible. So says the Gemara Bava Metzia, and says Rashbam over here, but if you do a kinyan and he's meshabed himself from the time that you signed it, it's really kosher, meaning you're allowed to be meshabed yourself from an earlier date, even though the shibud didn't have to be created until the next day, and that's not a problem. It's not a problem of mechzi kishikra. It's not a problem of anything like that. So that would actually be kosher. People are very sensitive about that. They don't always do that, but technically that would be kosher. So anyway, so hamuucharin ksherin, but a shtar muuchar is going to be kosher. So I'm Rav Amnuna lo shanu el shtari halva'a al shtari mekach memkra filu muuchar nami psulin shtari mekach memkra. There's no shibud karkos. Shtari mekach memkra. There's no shibud karkos, and therefore, even Shtar Shtar Mekach Memkar is possible, and we'll see why in a moment. So says Gemara, my time, why is it that Shtar Mekach Memkar, if it's Mu'uchar, it's going to be possible? Zimn demas min le'ar b'nisan, because sometimes a person is going to sell Karka in Nisan, because of le'bitishrei, and he's going to write in the shtar that the Mekach happened in the following Tishrei, 6 months later, Umishrami Lezuzi Beni Beni, and between Nisan, which was when the Mechira actually happened, and Tishrei, which is the dated time, the time dated in the shtar, the Mocher will get some money, Vizavali Amine, and he'll repurchase the land that he had sold. Vikimati Tishrei Mapiklei, and the Lokech will take out the shtar of the original Mekach that says that it was sold to him in Tishrei. Va'amlein, he'll say to the Mocher, yes, I know you bought this karka from me after you sold it to me in Nisan, but hadzvantaminach, I repurchased it from you, and this shtar is a raya that I repurchased it from you because it says in Tishrei that I repurchased it from you. Meanwhile, he didn't repurchase it from him, but he has a shtar that's dated the later date. So it says, well, if that's your concern, you have the same concern with the shtar alva zimnin diyazup in Nisan. Sometimes you lend money in Nisan because of the shtar b'Tishrei, you'll post date the shtar by 6 months. He'll come up with money in between, and he'll repay the chov. He'll say, give me my shtar. Because he'll say, I don't have your shtar, I lost it. He'll write a shovar of the date that it's actually paid back. When it comes time for Tishrei, he'll take out a shtar. Oh, in Tishrei, you borrowed money from me. What do you mean? I already paid that back. I have a shovar. You know, the shovar was before Tishrei. You borrowed money from me again. So, kasavar in kosvin shovar. Now, Rav Nun is not worried about that because he assumes that we simply do not write a shover. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Le Rav Yemar, Le Rav Kahana. Everyone have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.